Good morning. It's lovely to be here with you all. You know, I haven't been at Frio for 4 months. It's quite some time since I was last here. And for those of you who don't know, like Pastor Nigel said, it makes me emotional sometimes when I think about this. But, you know, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea have blessed my wife Michelle and I with the most amazing opportunity of being the location pastors for our second location, C3 Wellard. You know, it's my privilege and honor to be here today, to be serving alongside them, but also just to be sort of entrusted with that bigger responsibility. And I don't take it lightly, you know, and I just want to say thank you guys. Thank you, Pastor Nigel and Andrea, for you know, having faith in us that we can, you know, shepherd the flock down there. And I just want to say, you know, I want to honor them. It's been a real privilege to have that opportunity. So bless you guys. Thank you. Well, yeah, the worship was awesome this morning. It's quite cool because at Wellard, I have to usually land the worship and then altar call, tithes, collection, all this. And so I'm always like, in that second last song, I'm like, ooh, Lord, okay, let me get in the zone. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? And I can't actually just enter into worship and just praise Jesus because I'm thinking about the next thing that's coming up. So it was nice having, the big boss, Pastor Nigel, landing worship and doing that for me. So it just like took a bit of pressure off this morning. So that was cool. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you gorgeous? All right. That's enough, guys. That's enough. Awesome. Well, if that was awkward for you, I sincerely apologize. If that helped you out, like some of the younger people here, you're welcome, and there will be a guest speaker offering at the end of the message that you can just, no, I'm just kidding, it's one church, two locations, stop it, bad Barry, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah, it's good to laugh in the house of God, hey, that joy that Pastor Nigel was talking about, joyful no matter what our circumstances are. Well, 2019, it's been an interesting year so far, hey, we've had some really awesome guest speakers come from over east. I really enjoyed having Steve White and Nicola Gibb, and we've had some really awesome speakers at both locations. It's been a great year so far. The year of freedom. Sorry, at Wellard we have one both sides, so I kind of need to, I can point to either side when I say freedom, but year of freedom, Luke 4 verse 18. So I asked myself in preparation for this week, Lord, what area can each of us get a little bit more freedom, a little bit more liberty in 2019? What message can I bring that will make the rest of 2019 more bearable and make it easier going? Give us a little bit more freedom. So today, I'd like to deal with some things that might be holding you back from having a year of complete freedom, a year of liberty. Sometimes we all need to stop, check our focus, reposition ourselves, dump the excess burdens that we unnecessarily carry so that we can have a smoother journey going forward. Now, the main scripture that I want to start with this morning, because it's good to start any message with the word of God and not my words, is found in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let's read God's word together. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. And that's what I want you guys to hear. I'm learning, and this message is as much a message to myself as it is to you. I have not reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, help us to deal today with issues that may be haunting our past. Help us to forgive and forget, as you have already forgiven us of so much. Thank you for your Holy Spirit helping us to understand your word as we unpack it this morning. Finally, thank you for the privilege of being able to know you as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message and the main point today that I want to make is adjust your mirror. Adjust your mirror. Now, you guys must be thinking, what? Adjust your mirror? What's this got to do with anything and with the verse that I just read? Well, let me tell you, we're going to go on a journey today, church. We're going to imagine we're in the driving seat of a car and that we're driving down the road. And it's funny, sometimes when you're driving down the road, it's like quite smooth, the tar's nice, and or you might be on a dirt road, nice and graded. But then every now and then, you'll be driving down and then, oh, there's a bit of a pothole, there's a bit of, you have to swerve, and you just kind of, and that's what life's like sometimes, you know? Sometimes it's smooth, no one's getting on your nerves, life's groovy, you just got married, life's cool. But then, you know, there's always those unforeseen hazards that sort of trip you up and come into your life. You know, sometimes we need to just like, while we're driving down the road of life, we need to take a pit stop, just check our health. How's our car doing? Giving it a look over, check the dipstick, yeah, oil looks okay. Sometimes we need to just pull off completely and do some serious repairs. You know, sometimes our relationships with other people is one of the areas that need repairs. And it's quite funny, I was thinking about it, like, as you go down the road of life, there's similar to in a car, there can be a lot of distractions. You know, like you're driving there and then bloop, suddenly a light comes on and then there's an indicator going and then you like the radio's going like panda, 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 little gold to the counter, credit card and the scammer. And then you change, it's like, lately I've been thinking I want you to be happier. And it's like, you know, if you get too caught up in all the distractions that's going on in the car, sometimes you can miss really important things on the road. I know some people have, you know, been in car accidents. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there can be so much going on in your car that you miss what's going on outside around you. You know, and sometimes when you've got things like that, there's indicators built into the car's dashboard that when they pop up, they might have some kind of catastrophic consequences, but like they'll be in the longer term. Like if the oil light pops on, you're probably going to have a problem, but maybe not immediately. Maybe it'll take another week. You can drive it like that. I don't recommend this at all, but I'm saying you could probably get away with another week of driving it and your car might be okay. You might do some damage, but it might not be too bad. Or like the little temperature light comes on, probably a bit less time. You might cook your engine. But what I'm saying is there's kind of like the little indicator comes on, and if you miss it down the road, there'll be consequences, but not immediately. But what will give you immediate consequences as you're driving down the road of life is if like a kangaroo or a dog or something jumped in your road, you know? Like, and you could be, that's what I'm saying, like you can be like confused and like distracted by all these things going on in your car, by your phone, whatever, and then a kangaroo jumps in front, immediately there's catastrophic consequences. Immediately, you know, it's game over. And I want to say that, like, in our scripture that we read, if you're not focused on the present and looking forward to what lies ahead, it may be okay for you in the short term. You might be okay in the short term, but somewhere along the line, you might miss a big kangaroo jumping into your path. You know, but you say, Barry, what do you mean? I am present. I am looking forward to what lies ahead. Well, I thought so too. But then God spoke to me about how all of us from time to time can be so stuck in the past. You know, we can, with all the hurt and unforgiveness and selfish things that people say to us, that it's like this. We're driving down the road, but we're not focused on what lies ahead. We're constantly doing this, looking in our mirror, but not looking on the road because we're so focused on what's behind and the things that people have done to us in our past, that we allow that to start framing our lives and framing our future relationships with people because of past hurts. And we look at all our interactions through a broken lens. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you, it's time to adjust your mirror. I have a funny little story to share before I go on. So, in Zimbabwe, when you get your driver's license, similar to here, you have a multiple choice test initially. The cool thing is you can get it when you're 16, so that's pretty cool. You got all these 16-year-olds behind cars. But in the multiple choice, this has a point, I promise it does relate. But So there's a multiple choice test, and some of the questions and answers are just so laughable, man. Like, you look at these and you're like, who came up with this? But one of the questions, I kid you not, you can actually look it up. There's a blog post about it as well. Someone else found it as amusing as I did and it stuck out to them. But the question is, what do you do if you're driving along the road and you see in your rearview mirror an aeroplane? And the correct answer is adjust your mirror, because you're obviously looking at the sky behind your car. So it was all about like people getting used to being in a car, and if you're seeing something weird in the mirror, you need to adjust it. So it sounds funny, but where I want to go with this is that some of us have gone through some really hurtful, difficult situations, and so much so that it might have felt like your little car going down the road of life was hit by a jumbo jet from behind. You know, like just totally derailed you, carnage. You know, now every time you try and pluck up the courage to head on down life's road again, when you look in the rearview mirror, you're like, oh, when's the next aeroplane coming? You know? And it can stunt the way that we go into life. We need to adjust our mirrors. Yes, I totally acknowledge that, you know, easier said than done. There's many horrible, painful, thoughtless things that people have done to you, and but we do need to start to slowly forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. You can't plan and steer where your little car is going by constantly looking backwards. You'll definitely miss a kangaroo coming from the front. So now, on the mirrors of a lot of cars and boats and like jet skis and stuff, you sometimes look at the mirror. And it says, it's got like little writing at the bottom. Don't put the point up yet, Josh. Just wait for me to actually say it because it's close. So sometimes when you're on those cars and you see them, or when a car has like a towing mirror, the underneath the mirror, it will remind you that you've got a distorted perception of reality. And it will say, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, right? That's what a lot of these mirrors say. And so I was looking at that and I was thinking, you know, sometimes in life, when we're going down our road and we're looking at the rearview mirror of what's in our past and the things that we remember, it needs to have a little disclaimer on there as well. And now it says, objects are further than they appear. That's what our life mirror should really say. Because, look, the problem is we trust wholeheartedly on the truth that's displayed in our little car rearview mirror of the past. It's our truth. It's our reality, it's my experience, it's my past that I've lived, and no one else can tell me otherwise or deny my personal experience. And while in real life it does say that, you know, that objects are closer, let me tell you, they are actually further than they appear. No matter how raw and recent the pain is of something in your past and how these things may haunt you from time to time, you must recognize that with every passing day, as you go on with your life, as you go on further down the road, these things are further and further behind you. And with that, you need to start letting them go. You know, these events, although initially life-changing, should begin to fade as a difficult season. As you move on to the next season that God has for you, I've got a great scripture about seasons in Ecclesiastes. Take a look at this. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 2, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. And it goes on. There's many other seasons that it talks about, but a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to be born, a time to die. What I want to say to you today is we need to recognize that the cross of Jesus has covered all of our wrongdoings, and Jesus has helped and will continue to help you to move on from those many disappointments and you know, times of unforgiveness that you might have. There's so many selfish acts that can come into your life, and with the help of Jesus, you can move on. He has done it in the past. Jesus has done these things for you in the past, and he will continue to do so as you move on from the hurt of the past into a new season, a new year. As we let go of the things of the past, we can get more and more freedom in our lives. Now, it's not easy. Forgiveness can be painful and a slow process at times. Sometimes when I'm struggling to forgive, I remind myself that I've been forgiven of so many selfish things that I've committed against a holy, loving God, a God who created everything, a God who considers looking at lust the same as committing adultery, a God who considers, you know, hatred towards someone the same as murder, and yet he sees all my acts and he says, you've forgiven through my son Jesus. You know, God's forgiven us each of so much. How can we not forgive others from what they've done to us? I want to make myself a little bit vulnerable today because you guys might be saying, oh, that's easy for you to say. You probably haven't gone through much. I mean, what can you really have forgiven someone of? So I want to share a story of an issue that I had to deal with last year. And man, it kept rearing its head throughout all of last year. And I kept just praying, God, help me to deal with this. Help me to forgive. Help me to adjust my mirror off the past and move on into the future. So I was... I grew up in a church in Zimbabwe, and I was there for 19 years, and so I had the same pastor through when I was a kid, and then in youth ministry, and then as a young adult, went to the same church, grew really close to my pastor, and so when Michelle and I got engaged in Easter 2 years ago, the first thing that I did after telling my parents is I phoned this pastor, and I said, hey, would you mind doing the honor of, you know, marrying my new wife, well, my wife-to-be and I, you know? You've been there for so many years of my life. I respect you. You've pretty much brought me up along with my parents in the ways of God, you know, and it would be such an honor for me if you were there. And his response was, without a doubt, I'll be there. I got you. You're like a son to me. You know, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So that's where we left it. Then, unbeknownst to me, there was a church member who got sick, really sick, in their church back in Zimbabwe. No, let me just rewind a little bit. So not only did I invite him to come over, I spoke with Michelle and I said, look, this guy is such an awesome guy. He means a lot to me. He's a part of my past. I really feel like we should help him because the church was struggling financially by buying them a ticket to fly over so that it wouldn't even be a financial decision. He'd literally just have to get on the plane, rock up in Brisbane, we pay for his accommodation, and he'd marry us. So Michelle was like, okay, if this means that much to you, I've got, you know, a pastor on the Gold Coast that I'm close to that I would have liked to, but this guy, you know, he's been there for you, so we'll do that. So we made the sacrifice to buy the tickets and book the accommodation and all this stuff. So then a church member got sick in Zimbabwe, and only 10 days before the wedding, I remember it clearly, like, I was at Ben and Avina's house staying my last week before getting married. I'd given up the lease at my little apartment where I was staying, and I was staying with them for the last week before I went over to Brisbane to get married. And got this call 10 days before the wedding saying, hey, Barry, there's this lady that's sick, and I've made a promise to the family that I'll be there until basically to the graveside. I'm going to be here with this family, and I have to make the toughest decision as a pastor right now. I know this is your day, and I've given you my word, but I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stay with this people who, you know, this lady who's passing away. I'm not going to be able to be there for your big day. And it's 10 days before the wedding, and now I'm feeling like, man, I've let my future bride-to-be down. You know, this is not her best, you know, for her. You know, like I'm giving her second best. And I was just like, God, like, why did this have to happen? And man, I'm thinking all these negative thoughts and whatever. And then I brought it to Pastor Nigel. And let me tell you, like, what Pastor Nigel did, he had, like, his whole week planned out and everything. He said, Baz, I'll drop whatever I've got. I'm going to be there. I'll marry you and Michelle. Don't worry, mate. Like, you know, it'll be all right. And Pastor Nige, we flew him over. So it cost us quite a bit financially because we did that as well, as weddings do. But I mean, Pastor Nige was awesome. He was just like, he did the most awesome wedding ceremony I could have asked for. Michelle and I still talk about it and just how it was just so us and just so fitting, you know, and also fitting of the new season God was taking us into, almost like a, you know, letting go of the old. But the reason why I share that is because for a long time I kept this experience in my rearview mirror. Every time I saw a text from this pastor, I was like, man, you know, you let me down. You know, how can I you know, look at your words the same anymore. You know, I was letting this frame a lot of my interactions, and I lost trust and faith in people to a certain extent. But let me tell you, as I kept having these thoughts, I was just like, God, you've forgiven me of so much. How can I not forgive this pastor? Like, yeah, he's done a hectic thing to us, but man, that's nothing compared to what you've forgiven me of. And, you know, we went back to Zimbabwe in November last year, and we had like a small, well, not that small, but like a little wedding celebration where 130 people came or whatever. All the people who couldn't make it to Brisbane, and Michelle got like, whoa, introduced to 130 people. But, you know, this pastor was able to kind of redeem himself. He had like this short, we gave him a few minutes, and he spoke like a little bit of a wedding blessing over us. And it was kind of like a redemption of our relationship. And although hard, like now I'm able to sort of let that go and say, God, I forgive my pastor because you've just forgiven me so much. And that's allowed it to heal. And so when we forgive others as we're forgiven by God, we can stop focusing so much on the things behind us, on the unhealthy things that get us bogged down in our past. And we recognize that God is a loving, living, moving being that's just doing new things, and we need to move on with where he's going. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Instead of focusing on the terrible things that have happened to you in your childhood or even recently and letting them hurt and anger and frame your little car as you drive down the road, it's much better to know that Jesus has dealt with everything in my mirror as he's died on the cross. You know, this allows us to shift our eyes off of the rearview mirror and back onto the road. You know, otherwise we can magnify our past to a thing that it's actually not. Ask yourself and try to be genuine with my third point today. This is what I ask myself as I'm looking at the mirror of the things behind me is, have I checked my blind spots? That's another one that I thought works really well with this car analogy. So in a car, you can check all three of your mirrors of the things in your past and what's coming back to you, but you can still not notice something in your blind spot. You know, we all have blind spots. You can be in your car and you can be aware of so many things, and something comes out of your blind spot or you change lanes, and you know it's just as catastrophic. And as I was thinking about this little car analogy, the things that we usually tend to miss in our blind spots, if you think about a car, is other cars traveling along with you. That's usually what people get into accidents with. I like to think that, you know, cars in our blind spots represent other people, be it friends at church, relatives, colleagues, people that are doing life with us, that are coming alongside us. And sometimes we can be so focused on our little mirrors of, this is all the terrible things that happened in my past, that we don't recognize that there's actually good things happening to us right now, right next to us. There's good people coming alongside us, encouraging us. You know, there's always new relationships that God's bringing into our life. There's so many people that love and care for you and are trying to do life with you. And these people want nothing but the best for you. They've drawn up alongside you to make your journey a little easier. And sometimes we can bat those people in our blind spots away because we're so focused on what's happened in our past. You know, some of these people that are in your blind spots, they might know what you've gone through and they try to comfort you, but you're just like hard and you're cold and like, no, you know, you want to play that victim game of, you don't know what I've been through. You know, how can you ever understand? But, you know, not only as humans do we tend to miss the positive people in our blind spots, but we also have blind spots to all the ways that God has blessed us. You know, he's blessed us in the past, and he continues to do so as we drive through life. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18, says this, "So, we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it looks like it often looks like things are falling apart on us." Who feels like sometimes things are falling apart on you? On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times, I love the message, are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now in your blind spots will last forever. Don't be a negative Nancy. Always focus on the bad. We all have blind spots to the good things that have happened to us and are still happening to us. We have a lot to be thankful for in this country. There's a lot of people in other countries that don't have it half as good as we do. You know, we love the comfort and pity that comes from playing the victim, but when we know Jesus, we are playing for the winning team. You know, we can win at life because we've been adopted as children of God, no longer slaves to our past. My final point this morning is that if you want to have a successful year of freedom, living in absolute liberty from the past and anticipating all God has for you on the front foot, then you should fix your eyes back on the road. Fix your eyes back on the road. We can rest assured that the only thing that really matters in our rearview mirror is the cross of Jesus Christ and the fact that he's covered everything we've ever done wrong. You know, that's the most significant experience from your past that should be framing your rearview mirror. And with knowing that, hey, Jesus has got my back. Jesus has done for me. Jesus is victorious. When he said on the cross, it is finished. I believe it. You know, Jesus has covered all the things we've ever done. That allows us to take our eyes off of our past and say, God, I'm moving forward confidently into what you have for my future. You know, if the cross of Jesus is our only rear-looking focus, we can face forward and start to plan a better future for tomorrow. Jesus has our back as we move out boldly. Look at this, Matthew 6:34, and the message as well. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Looking backward might cause you to miss road hazards and potholes, like I said, you know, kangaroos jumping in your road. But what I also want to talk about is that, you know, keeping your eyes focused on your rearview mirror might also cause you to miss a road sign saying, hey, new friendship here. Hey, new job opportunity here. Hey, God, I'm God. I'm doing a new thing over here. But you're so focused looking on your past that you just drive by all the new opportunities, the new friendships, the new things that God has for you because you got your eyes too much focused on the past. You know, God might have a new job, a new adventure, a new friend on the horizon for you. And if you focus too much on what you've done in the past and let that frame how you are, you might, you know, drive right on by those opportunities. You know, if your eyes are on the road, you can miss hazards, you can miss opportunities. But let me encourage you, church, can we adjust our mirrors off of the flaws and imperfections of our past and firmly onto the person of Jesus, the person who'll never fail you, who always knows just what to say, what to do, how to meet you where you're at, who can sympathize with where you're at, you know? Keep the cross and the ways of Jesus firmly in the back of your mind. You do this, how do you do this? By soaking up the Bible, by getting to know who Jesus is through his word, and adopting a grateful attitude. I don't think it can be stressed enough how much a grateful attitude can make a difference when you start to notice all the good things that are happening in your life. When Jesus' example is placed firmly in the back of your mind and you're letting that frame all your decisions, how can the rest of 2019 not be a good year? How can it not be a life and a year of freedom? As Paul said in a similar way to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4:8-9, it says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's good, eh? Let's strive to set our minds at ease today. We find peace in life when we focus on the good and positive things in our past and our present. Let's move swiftly on from the errors of the past and forgive quickly, holding short accounts of wrongdoing. Be present, be intentional, and fix your eyes back on the road. Now, as I said before, Jesus coming into your life is the most important event that can shape your past and prepare you for an awesome future. I know when I gave my life to Jesus, that was the single best decision I ever made. The single best thing to put in my rearview mirror, to cover my past. When you know Jesus, you're never alone again. This is what our Father God did for you. God loved you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. And on the third day, He rose again. Jesus did that for all our mistakes, for all our sins, for all our wrongdoing. On the third day, He rose again to show that you were forgiven. He rose from the dead, and He offers us all the gift of eternal life in heaven. Jesus did all this so He can have a relationship with you. He loves you so much. Right now, I'd like to invite those of you who've never had a relationship with Jesus, or those of you who feel like you once knew Jesus and walked away, to come into a relationship with Jesus right now. But before we stand up and pray a prayer, I just want to look at this scripture, Acts 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I need times of refreshing, man. Every time I come through a situation that's hard, that's difficult to give forgiveness to, God, I need your refreshing. I repent of my hardened heart, of my unforgiveness, and I just want to hold short accounts. You know, right now is your unique opportunity to say yes to Jesus and to put the cross of Jesus Christ firmly in your rearview mirror. Jesus' sacrifice covers the mistakes of your past, and He will guide you on down the road in your future, showing you the opportunities and pointing out the hazards that we need to swerve around. Can I ask you all to be upstanding right now, church, and help me with this important part of our service? Let's help those people here who are making a decision for Jesus, be it for the first time, or who maybe been walking away and want to come back to God. Please pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, right now, I need you to transform my life. Forgive me of my sin and wash me clean. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died on a cross to save my sins. I believe that He rose again, and I will follow Him all my days. I put my trust in you and make a public declaration to follow you the rest of my days. Today is my day of new beginnings. Today is my day of freedom. Amen.